As I think many of you are aware, I lecture for many communities throughout the very various countries throughout the world. Baruch Hashem, I am blessed with the opportunity to do so. But what's interesting is that regardless of wherever I lecture, there is a rather disheartening confrontation that I've experienced, or I should say confrontations, that I've experienced numerous amounts of times, regardless of where I show up. Inevitably, I seem to be faced with many people who are singles, people who are not married, people who are perhaps later in their lives, successful people, attractive people, and yet it seems to be this infectious scene whereby I'm approached by many of them expressing to me that they are disillusioned, disheartened by the fact that they are not married, they're still looking for their zivug, the proper match, can I help them out? Do I know anyone who I could possibly introduce them to? Unfortunately, or I guess fortunately, I'm not really in that scene, so I can't really help them very much. But what happens is that I grow very, very depressed in seeing the amount of youngsters, or perhaps not so youngsters, who really are successful people, who have a tremendous amount to offer, but who are not able to find the match and are not able to fulfill the mitzvah of marriage, the ability to build a bayit nam on a proper Jewish healthy household. And to be honest with you, my friends, it seems that this problem is infectious in the fact that there doesn't seem to be any end to this seemingly problematic symptom that exists and that really tears at the fabric of Jewish society in our times. I had recently an interesting story that relates to this particular episode. It's a young lady who I know very, very well, very fine woman, very successful woman, and I said that I thought of someone in a different country who I could set her up with. She was very anxious to go out with this fellow when I described him. Here is a very successful, debonair businessman, nice-looking fellow, dresses nicely, seems to have everything going for him, certainly within the world of comforts and success. And he described himself to me as someone who desperately would like to get married and find the right person. Well, I paired these two together. He said yes, he'd be anxious to meet her. And he said that he would be contacting her in the next week. Week goes by, nothing happens. Another week goes by, nothing happens. I call him, I email him. Eventually he got around to emailing her. She was very excited. It sounded like a nice email. She was interested in furthering the correspondence. But when he told her that he was going to call her again, there was no follow-up in terms of the commitment or the promises that he had made. And I was very, very upset. So my initial reaction was, here's a guy who on paper looked very fine, very successful, and very promising. My reaction was the same reaction that I have many times when this happens or when you hear similar stories of a similar ilk. And that was, there's a reason why these people are not married. There's a reason why perhaps they've reached this certain age and they have not yet found their mate. And you raise your hands in a sense of despair. But the truth is, my friends, we can ask ourselves further. What is the real reason why there seems to be this large void that exists in the Jewish community of singles, of perhaps the lack of interest of those who want to get married, perhaps the despair from those who want to get married, and certainly the lack of success of so many singles who potentially could pair themselves with one another, but who do not? And while certainly I cannot possibly solve this problem in the 20-minute or so segment of the Sleepless Sermon, I would like to at least address the beginning of where I feel the issue and the problem begins. In Perek Bet Pasuk Chof Dalid, the Torah says very clearly, addressing Adam HaRishon, but presumably all of mankind, Al kein ya'azov ish et aviv et imo. Therefore, one should leave his father and mother, v'davak be'ishto, and he should cling to his wife. V'hayu levesar echad, and they will be like one of flesh. And the question is twofold. Firstly, the Torah introduces this particular commandment, this mitzvah of marrying, of bonding with the opposite sex, with the words al-kain, which means for this reason, therefore, this is the reason. What exactly is the reason? What is the al-kain being described in the pasuk? And secondly, I'd like to introduce a beautiful vort and insight offered by the great Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz, of whom I had, Baruch Hashem, the zchut, the merit of publishing the Eibeshitz Haggadah. Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz, the great scholar of the 18th century, asks as follows: Lichora ein lo peirush ma inyan aviv v'imo li'ishto. What exactly is the meaning in the pasuk when we're talking about marriage, about aviv v'imo? Why does the Torah insert in the relationship between a husband and wife the relationship of yazov et aviv et imo, of a father and mother? Father and mother presumably have not much to do with regards to the relationship of a husband and wife, which is on a different tier, a different generation. And not only that, but in introducing this mitzvah of a husband and wife being together, we're talking about Adam and Chava, the first of the creations. There didn't exist a relationship of a father and mother as of yet. So what is going on here? And Rabbi Yonatan explains as follows: Ikare leida nityaches al av ve'em. We know that when we talk about someone who is born, there is actually described in the Gemara Kiddushin three relationships who are responsible for a person's having been conceived: a father, a mother, and of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval be'emet ikara leida hi aneshama. We believe, or we are prone to believe, that the main relationship that allows or causes children to be born is the father and mother. But, says Rabbi Yonatan, reminding us that the ikar haleida, the main relationship that exists, that concludes or that consequently results in birth or conception, is the neshama, spirituality, the soul, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who instills that power within us. V'Hashem hu amolida. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, who really, so to speak, conceives or gives birth to children, because he, capital H, is the one who brings the husband and wife together. V'guf haba me'av ve'em kelo yichashev. Yes, the physical relationship that exists or that results between a father, husband and wife clearly facilitates the conception of a child, but ultimately is from Hashem. And Rabbi Yonatan continues, the clear indication, the proof for this, ki anu ro'im ki ish v'isha hem bateva mamash lebasar echad v'domim b'shivui v'im lefamim ein domim be'emet yesh b'neihem pirud. At first glance, says Rabbi Yonatan, when you look at a husband and wife, if we had to put things down on paper, we would not conclude that these two people should be together. I mean, how many times do we see in the holy bonds of matrimony people who come from completely diverse backgrounds, people who we would never say could get along with one another, people who have completely opposite interests, and yet they cling together as one, and they create this healthy relationship and rapport of ish v'isha. V'zehu, says Rabbi Yonatan, that is what it means when it says in the pasuk, al kein yazov ish aviv v'imo. The pasuk comes to tell us Recognize, my friends, that you would think it is the father and mother who are responsible for conceiving a child. No. Al Kane, therefore, for this purpose, we bring two people together who we would not normally conclude belong together, demonstrating that it is the purpose, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who ultimately is responsible for the Zivug, for bringing together the match, and for the Leida, for the conception of future generations. And therefore, essentially, if you think about what Rabbi Yonatan is explaining here, Rabotai, Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz says to us that Al Kane demonstrates that there must be a purpose. This is the purpose. There must be a purpose. Essentially, there is a deeper meaning to matrimony. Why? Because matrimony, marriage, ish v'isha, must be based on nurturing and instilling purpose. When we remember that when a husband and wife get together, it is an act through HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, and for the sake of perpetuating future generations, again, with the partner of Hashem, then we realize that yes, any healthy, successful relationship from a Jewish viewpoint must contain within it a purpose, an Al Kane, for this reason. Finding purpose, certainly living with purpose, my friends, is not only challenging, but it can be a painstaking, certainly a very long process. There are people who look for meaning in their lives, their entire lives, often, unfortunately, not always finding the meaning that they so long for. And therefore, because finding purpose in itself is meaningful, it is for that reason that one cannot achieve finding meaning without pursuit. And we must recognize that pursuit is something which is procedural. It is something which takes time. It is something which has to be invested in, which has to be thought through, and which truly takes a long, long process in order to arrive and reap the benefits of a purposeful relationship. Unfortunately, Rabotai, in our generation, we are taught and nurtured to the fact that time is something that we just do not have. In the generation that we live, a generation of instant gratification, a generation in which we want or long for instantaneous satisfaction, that is conflicting to what Judaism represents. The relationship with Hashem, a relationship with one's spouse, a relationship with one's children must be nurtured. It is something that is procedural. And therefore, to many of the youth and to many people who live in the rat race of what we call successful world of today, those are issues that they pashut cannot necessarily deal with. And this is why, when I hear stories about shiduchim, I'm not sure whether or not I should laugh or whether I should cry. I hear people who tell me that they go out with other people, and one of the questions they ask before they concede to go out with someone is, what color kippah, what color yarmulke does the person wear? Which school did the person attend? What exactly does that have to do with the person who you're going to go out with? What happened to going out for the sake of having fun, for the sake of companionship, for the sake of getting to know someone who might be a little different or someone who's interesting? No. Before the date even begins, we need the facts down on paper, because let's solve the problem now. Let's recognize whether we are compatible before I even know what the person looks like. Is a person actually marrying, is a young lady marrying the color of a kippah or a kippah itself? Or is she marrying the head that exists under the kippah? These are questions that would require deeper thought and certainly the exasperation and investment of time. Questions that many people don't want to invest in. Many people tell me when they go out on dates, some of the questions that they immediately immerse themselves in, deep questions such as, how many children do you want to have? Which school would you send your kids to? How can you possibly answer such questions until a person is involved in the relationship of a marriage? How can I possibly tell you where I would send my children to school without knowing who my children are? Every child belongs in his own special educational setting according to the needs of that child. And yet there is no experience, no understanding, no reality that you're dealing with in front of you to answer these questions that would seem so fundamental, but that are so difficult and so foreign to people who have not yet established or invested in a relationship that takes time. Chazal, therefore, when they spoke about a healthy marriage, recommended that people look at each other's families. The Gemara in Baba Kama says, if you want to know who to marry, look at a girl's brothers. Something which was very frightening personally for my sister to have to tell her future chatan. However, why is this? Because when you look at someone's family is a relationship, is an institution that has already been built, that has already been invested in or not, and therefore would not be healthy. But if it was invested in, if it was nurtured, it is a procedure. It was a long process to make or to develop and to nurture that institution of the family. And therefore, yes, Chazal say, look at the family. Look at the test of time, how it played itself out. Because that is someone who understands and appreciates, if indeed the family is healthy, they appreciate the institution of time, of investment, that we have to be able to nurture a proper way to build a healthy relationship. And yet, unfortunately, even in shidduchim today that exists, they are looked at as business deals. I have heard someone offer a friend of mine for their daughter, for their son and daughter to get married. I have heard someone offer, for my friend's daughter, I'll throw in a washing machine, a refrigerator, and I'll go half with you on the cost of the apartment so that our kids have a place to live. What exactly are we dealing with? We're not dealing with business ventures. We're not dealing with closing the deal. We are dealing with human lives that will attest to the fact of establishing future generations of Yidden, of Judaism, of Jewish children. The relationship between a husband and wife reflects and represents the relationship between man and woman and Hashem. And it is anything but business-like. It is anything but systematic and certainly not instantaneous. This was the problem that existed as well, Rabotai, in Parshat Noach. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol decides to destroy the world after it had already been created, the Torah says, what was the problem? Vatimalei ha'aretz chamas. What is chamas? Some of Chazal say Hamas is gzela. That's what Rashi says. Theft, thievery, robbery. What is the problem with gzela, with robbery? When someone robs or takes something that is not theirs, they demonstrate that they have not earned that particular item. They have not invested time to work for that item. No, they take it because they think that it's theirs or that it belongs to them or that they have the right to have it without having invested the efforts in order to work properly to receive that item. That is completely the antithesis of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind for healthy relationships, for healthy investment in Bezeyat Apecha Tochal Lechem, to work for the sake of an institution, to work for the sake of a healthy relationship. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol decided that the world would be destroyed. There are those who say that Hamas is not necessarily Gneva, but it was Arayot. sexually deviant behavior. Again, when a person engages in that type of behavior, what he is saying is, I look to satiate my desires expediently. I am not interested in nurturing a long-term relationship, something which might take investment, something which certainly takes a tremendous amount of effort in order to make it work. No, I want it, and I want it now to satiate my physical desires. And that is problematic. That is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind for the sake of relationships that would exist in this world. And therefore, after Noach disembarks from the Teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Peru urevu umil'u et ha'aretz. You should be fruitful and multiply umil'u et ha'aretz, which literally means fill the world. But no, mil'u comes from the word limal'ot, to fulfill the world, to make the world wholesome, to give the world its part of being whole by instilling purpose. Before we solve all of the problems, particularly the problem of the zivugim, the lack of shiduchim, the single scene that exists, unfortunately, and that is so painful to look at in the Jewish world, it begins by first having recognition, first having hakara, seeing where we are. There is no such thing as an easy pass to an ideological existence, nor to a healthy matrimony, to a relationship that is so deep, that is so conceptual as that of a husband and wife in representing the relationship of man to Hashem, as indicated in the relationships of our families, and in Mirtz Hashem, certainly as it reflects our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a result of our recognizing the greater purpose for what mankind should stand for, we should all be zoche to arrive at that recognition of who it is that we can build a special relationship with. As a result of that relationship, building a greater relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of us being zoche in our own right to live not by Ne'eman b'Yisrael, Urevonim Levanecha, Shalom al Yisrael, Shabbat Shalom.